All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we are we're jumping into something pretty interesting, a pamphlet called 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash.
Never wash.
Yeah, you heard that right. Never wash.
Okay.
Now, you know, on the surface, this might seem like a joke, maybe a little gross even.
Yeah, I can see that.
But trust me, this pamphlet actually uses humor to make a deeper point about something much more profound.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What kind of deeper point are we talking about here?
Well, it's about, believe it or not, spiritual well-being. It's kind of using this whole not washing thing as a metaphor for neglecting our spiritual lives.
That's a pretty creative approach, I'd say. Using something as simple as washing or not washing to talk about something as complex as spirituality. I'm interested to see how they pull that off.
Yeah, me too. So our mission today is to unpack this analogy, go through each of the 10 reasons, and see what kind of surprising insights we can gain about personal growth and, believe it or not, our relationship with faith. Ready to get a little dirty.
Let's dive in.
All right, so reason number one gets right to the point. I was made to wash as a child.
Ah, yeah.
I think we can all relate to that feeling of rebelling against authority.
Or absolutely, especially when we're kids.
Exactly. But what's interesting here is how the pamphlet connects this to resisting spiritual guidance. It's
right.
Like saying, I don't want to be told what to do, even if it's for my own good.
Right. Right. It's that classic pushback against any kind of imposed structure, you know, whether it's coming from parents, society, or maybe even a higher power.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that resistance, even though it's understandable, it can sometimes prevent us from embracing practices that could actually help us grow, you know?
I agree. It's like we get so caught up in rebelling that we miss out on the potential benefits of what we're rejecting.
Exactly. Okay. And then reason number two, people who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than other people. This one gets a little spicy, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like it's calling out those people who use their spiritual practices as a way to feel superior to others. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean. It's definitely pointing out that judgment and self-righteousness that can sometimes creep into, well, any system of belief, really.
Yeah. The pamphlet's not holding back. It's saying, hey, true spiritual growth shouldn't be about looking down on others. It should be about humility and self-improvement.
Exactly. It's about focusing on our own journey, not comparing ourselves to others.
Okay, reason number three is one I think we've all experienced at some point. Too many soap choices. I could never decide which one was right.
Oh, yeah.
This one might seem silly, but I think it speaks to a deeper fear we have when it comes to faith and personal growth.
I think you're right. It's that feeling of being overwhelmed by all the different paths and options out there. So many choices. And then we get paralyzed, right? Afraid of making the wrong choice, so we end up doing nothing at all.
Yeah, that fear of making the wrong choice can be paralyzing. It's like we're stuck at the soap aisle forever.
Exactly. We're so worried about picking the perfect soap that we never actually get clean.
Okay, and then we have reason number four. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. This one hits close to home for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maintaining good habits, whether it's physical or spiritual, it can be tough, you know? Like, how do we stay motivated?
I hear you. It's that human need for novelty and engagement. We thrive on challenge and growth. And when things become too routine, it's easy to lose interest, even if those things are actually good for us.
That is so true. So what do you think? Is the pamphlet suggesting that we need to find ways to, like, spice up our spiritual practices, make them feel fresh and exciting so we don't get bored?
That's a really interesting interpretation. I think it's less about forcing ourselves into rigid routines and more about finding ways to make our spiritual growth feel engaging, yeah. It should be a journey of discovery, not a chore.
I like that, a journey of discovery. All right, reason number five is short and sweet. None of my friends wash. Peer pressure, am I right?
Oh, yeah, the power of the social circle. It's hard to resist, especially when it comes to something like personal beliefs and practices, you know? We're social creatures. We want to fit in.
Absolutely. So even if we have this interest in personal growth or spirituality, if none of our friends are into it, it can be hard to stay motivated, right?
It can be really challenging. Our environment plays a huge role in shaping our choices.
So true. Okay, reason number six. I'm still young. I'll start later. I have to chuckle at this one, but it also makes me think, oh no, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's that classic illusion of invincibility we have when we're young, right? We think we have all the time in the world.
Yeah, like we'll worry about our spiritual lives later. But the truth is, The choices we make or don't make, now they have a huge impact on who we become down the road.
For sure. It's never too early to start investing in our personal growth, even if it's just baby steps.
Exactly. Okay, get ready, because reasons 7, 8, and 9 are a rapid-fire round of excuses. No time. Bathroom's too cold. Soap makers are greedy.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
I mean, come on. We've all used at least one of these excuses at some point, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. They're brilliant because they're so relatable and funny.
Right. But under the humor, there's this deeper truth. It's like we're so good at coming up with these justifications to avoid those areas where we know we need to grow.
Yeah, we deflect blame, invent obstacles, and come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't do the things we know we should be doing.
It's like a masterclass in excuse making.
It's like we're trying to protect ourselves from the discomfort of change.
Okay, now for the final reason, and this one really brings everything together. If you think about these answers, consider how close they are to the reasons some people give as to why they don't go to church, read their Bible, or even enter into a relationship with the God of heaven.
Wow, okay. So that's the big reveal.
Right. It's like, boom, mic drop.
It's like the pamphlet was leading us down this path of silly excuses about washing, only to show us how similar those excuses are to the ones we use for neglecting our spiritual lives.
It's making a direct connection between physical cleanliness and what it calls inner cleanliness or spiritual well-being. It's saying just as we need to take care of our physical bodies, we need to nurture our souls too.
It's a powerful analogy. It's saying, hey, look, if you're using these excuses to avoid taking care of your physical health, are you maybe using similar excuses to avoid taking care of your spiritual health?
That's a really thought-provoking question. And it leads us to a bigger question about this approach as a whole. Does it work? Is comparing spiritual growth to physical hygiene too simplistic? Or maybe even, you know, a little offensive to some?
That's a really important question and one that I think deserves a deeper discussion. While the analogy might resonate with some people, it's important to acknowledge that it might not sit well with others. Not everyone will connect with this approach, and that's okay. There's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to spirituality.
Right, that makes sense. What are your thoughts on the effectiveness of this kind of analogy? What are some of the potential strengths and weaknesses?
Well, what strikes me is the pamphlet's use of humor. You know, using a lighthearted approach to discuss a potentially sensitive topic.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I think humor can be a really powerful tool for breaking down barriers and making complex ideas more accessible to people.
I agree. It can make things feel less intimidating.
Right. But the potential downside is that it might oversimplify the nuances of spiritual growth. And for some, the humor might feel dismissive or even disrespectful.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk. So what do you think? Even though the analogy might not be perfect, it definitely gets us thinking, doesn't it? It forces us to confront those areas in our lives where we might be making excuses for not growing.
It definitely challenges us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we giving our inner selves the same care and attention we give our physical selves?
Yeah, it's like, are we putting more effort into our appearance than we are into cultivating our character and values?
It's about recognizing that inner growth is just as important as outer growth.
So much to think about. And I think that's a great place to pause for now.
Yeah, I agree. We've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our dive, exploring the pamphlet's 10 reasons for not washing and starting to unravel this analogy between physical hygiene and inner cleanliness.
We've started to peek beneath the surface of those excuses we make for neglecting our personal growth, and I'm excited to delve even deeper in the next part of our dive.
In part two, we'll explore what inner cleanliness really means. What does it look like to cultivate integrity and authenticity in our lives?
We'll dive into practical steps for nurturing our spiritual well-being, regardless of our religious beliefs or background.
So until then, I encourage you to reflect on those areas in your life where you might be resisting growth.
What are those excuses you're clinging to? And how can you move beyond them to embrace the transformative journey of personal development?
We'll pick up the conversation in part two, so stay tuned.
See you there.
You know, it's interesting how this pamphlet, like with its silly premise, you know, it's really got us thinking about personal growth and spirituality.
I know, right? It's like, who would have thought that a pamphlet about not washing could lead to such deep introspection?
Seriously. It's like we've taken this little nugget of absurdity and turned it into a springboard for some real self-reflection.
Exactly. And speaking of deep, I want to dive a little deeper into this idea of inner cleanliness that the pamphlet keeps mentioning.
Yeah.
It uses that term quite a bit, but I'm curious, like, what does it actually mean? Beyond the religious context, you know?
That's a great question. And it is important to clarify that inner cleanliness, while presented within a Christian framework in the pamphlet, it can definitely have a broader interpretation.
Okay, so if we take away the religious part of it, what are we left with? What does inner cleanliness look like in a practical sense? How do we live that out?
That's a really good question. For me, inner cleanliness is about, well, it's about cultivating a sense of integrity, authenticity, and kindness in our thoughts, our words, and our actions.
Okay. So it's about more than just being a good person generally.
Right. It goes deeper than that. It's about really examining our motivations, our intentions. Like, why are we doing the things we do? Are we acting out of genuine kindness, or are we just seeking external validation?
That's a good point. It's about looking at the root of our actions, not just the outward appearance.
Exactly. It's about being real, being genuine, and striving for that alignment between our inner world and our outer world.
I see. So if inner cleanliness is all about cultivating that integrity, authenticity, like, is it something we're born with, or is it something that we develop over time?
I believe it's a process. It's a journey of self-discovery and growth. You know, it requires us to look inward, you know, confront our own shadows and be willing to learn and evolve.
It's not like a one-time thing then.
Right. It's not about reaching some state of perfect purity. It's more about striving to become more aware, more conscious.
So it's an ongoing process.
Exactly. It's like polishing a stone to reveal its inner beauty.
I like that image.
Yeah. It's a continuous process of refinement.
And that kind of brings us back to that whole washing analogy, right? What do you think? Is it actually helpful, or is it maybe harmful in some way to use this kind of simple analogy to talk about something as complex as spiritual growth?
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword in a way.
How so?
Well, on one hand, using something as familiar and everyday as washing, it can make a more abstract concept like spiritual growth more relatable, more accessible to people.
Right. It's like using a simple metaphor to bridge the gap between the familiar and the unfamiliar.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there's the risk of oversimplification, you know, equating something as profound as spiritual growth with something as mundane as physical hygiene.
Like, it's more than just scrubbing away the dirt on the surface.
Exactly. It's about those deeper layers, those aspects of ourselves that we might not even be aware of.
So if the washing analogy has its limitations, then what are some other ways to think about this inner cleanliness? What are some practical steps we can take to cultivate this sense of integrity and authenticity that you were talking about?
I think it really depends on the individual and what resonates with them personally. But there are some practices that can be helpful. Like, for some, it might involve things like meditation or mindfulness, journaling to become more self-aware, you know?
Yeah, those practices can help us tune in to our inner world a bit more.
Exactly. And for others, it might be about connecting with nature, expressing their creativity, or, you know, engaging in acts of service to others.
So finding those activities that nourish the soul and help us connect to a sense of purpose, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. And I think there's another crucial aspect of inner cleanliness that we haven't really touched on yet. Forgiveness.
Oh, that's interesting. How do you see that connecting to this idea of inner cleanliness?
Well, if we think about inner cleanliness as a process of purification, right, letting go of what's weighing us down, what's hindering our growth, then forgiveness becomes really essential.
Because holding on to anger, resentment, guilt, it's like carrying around all this baggage that clutters our inner space.
Exactly. It's like refusing to wash away that grime, that negativity that's clinging to us.
Okay, I see the connection now.
Forgiveness of ourselves and of others, it's about releasing that grip, creating space for healing and growth.
That makes sense. But forgiveness, it can be really hard, you know, especially when we've been deeply hurt or wronged. Like, how do we even begin to approach it in a genuine way?
That's a question that deserves its own deep dive, and that's exactly what we'll be exploring in the final part of our conversation today.
Okay, so we're going even deeper.
Yeah, we're going to the heart of it. We'll talk about the challenges and nuances of forgiveness, the different types of forgiveness, and some practical strategies for cultivating a more forgiving heart.
Sounds like we're about to enter some deep emotional waters. I'm ready, though.
Me too. It's going to be powerful.
So until then, I want you to think about this. What act of forgiveness, no matter how small, can you offer yourself or someone else today?
It could be as simple as letting go of a minor annoyance, or as profound as releasing a long-held grudge. Allow yourself to experience the power of forgiveness, and we'll continue this conversation in our final segment.
Well, here we are. the final part of our deep dive into this 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash pamphlet.
I feel like we've gone through a spiritual spin cycle, you know? All this talk about washing and inner cleanliness.
I know, right? It's amazing how something so seemingly simple can lead us to such deep, like profound reflections.
And speaking of profound, we're tackling a big one today, forgiveness.
Yeah, that's right, forgiveness. You know, after unpacking all those excuses in the pamphlet, it really struck me how many of them like stem from this place of, well, fear or guilt or resentment.
You hit the nail on the head there. Those emotional burdens, they can really weigh us down, you know? They can prevent us from moving forward in our personal growth.
It's like they're holding us back.
Exactly. And that's why forgiveness of ourselves and of others is so crucial for cultivating that inner cleanliness we've been talking about.
I get the connection. I do. But I think for a lot of people, forgiveness feels like this huge, daunting task, you know, especially if they've been really hurt.
Oh, absolutely. It's not easy. It's definitely not a quick fix, you know, where you just wave a magic wand and all the pain disappears.
Yeah, it's a process.
It's a journey. It takes time and patience and a willingness to really confront those difficult emotions.
So if we're carrying around all this baggage, this resentment, this guilt, where do we even begin to unpack it all? What's the first step towards forgiveness?
Well, before we can even think about forgiving, we have to acknowledge the hurt, you know?
Yeah.
We have to give ourselves permission to feel the pain, the anger, the sadness, all of it, without judgment.
That sounds really hard, isn't it? Isn't it easier to just like bury those feelings deep down and try to move on?
It might seem easier at first, but those buried emotions, they don't just disappear.
Yeah, they tend to come back and haunt us, don't they?
They can resurface in unhealthy ways. You know, they can turn into bitterness, resentment, or even manifest as physical symptoms.
So we need to face the pain head on.
It's about being present with those difficult emotions, acknowledging them, witnessing them, but not letting them consume us.
It's like instead of running away from the hurt, we turn towards it.
Exactly. We create a safe space for it to exist.
Okay, I'm starting to understand. But what about after we acknowledge the hurt? Like how do we actually move towards forgiveness from there?
That's where empathy comes in. It's about trying to understand the situation from the other person's perspective, even if we don't agree with their actions.
That's tricky.
It's not about excusing the behavior, but it's about trying to see the humanity behind it.
So trying to understand why they might have done what they did, even if we don't condone it.
Exactly. Everyone has their own struggles, their own wounds, and sometimes, you know, those things come out in ways that hurt others.
Like we're all just human making mistakes.
We are, and remembering that can help us approach the situation with more compassion, with more understanding.
I see that.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those situations where the person who hurt us, they're not sorry, you know? They haven't apologized. Can we still forgive them?
That's a really good question. And the answer is yes. Forgiveness is not dependent on the other person's actions.
Right.
It's a choice we make for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's a different way of looking at it.
It's about reclaiming our own emotional freedom. It's not about letting the other person off the hook. It's about letting ourselves off the hook.
It's about breaking free from that cycle of anger and resentment that's keeping us trapped.
Exactly. Forgiveness is about choosing peace over pain, even when it's hard.
It's a powerful act of self-care, you know? It's prioritizing our own well-being.
I think it's important to remember, too, that forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation.
Right. So we can forgive someone without condoning their actions or letting them back into our lives.
Exactly. It's about setting healthy boundaries.
And I think it's also important to remember that sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves.
Oh, that's so true.
We can be so hard on ourselves, carrying around the weight of past mistakes and regrets.
And that self-criticism, it can be just as damaging as holding on to resentment towards others.
So how do we start to forgive ourselves? How do we let go of that guilt and shame that we're holding on to?
It starts with self-compassion, with recognizing that we're all human, we all make mistakes.
We're all works in progress, right?
Exactly. We're not perfect, and that's okay. It's about accepting ourselves, flaws and all, and recognizing that we did the best we could with the knowledge and resources we had at the time.
It's about extending the same grace and understanding to ourselves that we would offer to a friend, you know?
Yeah, it's about being our own best friend.
So we've talked a lot about the why of forgiveness, but I'm curious about the how. Are there any practical tools or techniques that can help us cultivate a more forgiving heart?
Absolutely. There are so many practices that can support us on this journey. You know, journaling can be a great way to process emotions, to release those negative thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I find journaling really helpful for getting things out of my head and onto paper.
Me too. And mindfulness meditation can be really helpful for cultivating a sense of peace and acceptance in the present moment.
And I've heard that doing acts of kindness for others can also be a way to shift our focus from resentment to compassion.
That's a great point. It's like we're creating this ripple effect of positivity,
yeah,
you know, by extending forgiveness and kindness both inward and outward.
I love that image. But, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that forgiveness, it's not a linear process. There will be ups and downs, right?
Absolutely. There will be days where we feel like we're making progress and then days where we feel like we're back to square one.
Yeah. It's a journey, not a destination. And it's about being patient with ourselves, you know, honoring our own pace.
Exactly. And gently guiding ourselves back on course when we stray.
Because we will stray, right? We're all human.
We are. But the important thing is to keep moving forward, keep practicing, keep choosing forgiveness.
Because ultimately, forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves.
It's about choosing freedom over captivity, peace over turmoil, love over resentment.
It's about letting go of the past so we can step into a brighter, more compassionate future.
Beautifully said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive.
Wow. It's hard to believe that we started with a pamphlet about not washing and ended up here talking about the transformative power of forgiveness.
It's been quite a journey.
I know, right? But I think it just goes to show that inspiration and insight can come from the most unexpected places.
It's all about being open to the possibilities.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this question. What act of forgiveness, no matter how small, can you offer yourself or someone else today?
Remember, forgiveness isn't about forgetting or condoning. It's about releasing the grip of the past and embracing the healing and freedom that comes with letting go.
Thank you for joining us on this journey of exploration and discovery. Until next time, keep diving deep, keep growing, and keep choosing forgiveness.